Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio. Welcome to Thursday afternoon on 720 WGN. So if you own an apartment building, should you have be allowed to have a rule that says, I will not rent to convicted felons, to people who've been in prison, had been out for 20, 25 years? Is that legal or illegal? It's the subject of a federal lawsuit in Chicago. That's one of the things Dennis Rodkin has written about in recent days, and we'll talk to him about it in the second half hour. Of course, Dennis covers real estate for Crane Chicago Business. I want to get things going, though, with Rochelle Garner, who's the feature editor at CNET.com. Rochelle, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, I should say, right? We've talked before.
Yes, we have, several times.
I always
enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. I do, too. So, okay, earlier in the show, I work on another show earlier in the day, and it came up, and they were talking about this whole Google, Alexa sort of conspiracy theory that she's always listening and that, you know, the story was a couple was in their living room talking about roofing, and they didn't search roofing, they did nothing like that, but then they sat down and they had all these ads for roofers on their Facebook and on their different feeds, and their theory was that their Alexa was listening to it and fed everyone else. I said that Google says that's not the way it works, but I don't know as much about it as you do, and I just wondered how you respond to people when they say that's what happens.
I hear that a lot from a lot of people, and they say anecdotally this is what has happened to them. But as you say, Google and Amazon and Apple say, no, that's not the way it works. We haven't exactly found out why these coincidences, if you want to call them that, keep showing up. I think there's a lot of information that we still have to try to uncover, discover. We know these things are always listening for the wake word, like, hey, Alexa.
Right, right.
Beyond that, we're trying to find out, really, we don't know. It's sort of like one of those things about, do you get the flu after you have a flu shot? I think we're kind of in the same kind of territory here with this.
Well, you know, things have happened like that to me, and I'm like, how could this was this magic? But I'm always able to figure out that I made this search or that I wrote this thing down or something, which is creepy enough that they're all sharing that information, but not that I was listened to by the microphone in my computer or by, you know, any other executive assistant or things like that. I just think sometimes we are fooled by the fact that we probably let them know one other way. But I didn't really know the official part of it. And, I mean, they would get into, I would imagine it'd be a major ordeal if it was revealed they were lying to us about that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just as we see what's happening, as things do get covered, uncovered about the social media sites,
right,
and what they're doing in terms of tracking our data. We know a lot more now than we did even a few months ago.
I want to talk to you about that. Tim Cook was speaking before, I think it was the European Parliament earlier this week, and had some strong words when it comes to privacy. Of course, Apple prides itself in protecting privacy, but his quote was, our own information from the everyday to the deeply personal is being weaponized against us every day. He likes apparently what they're doing in Europe and thinks we should do some of that here.
Strong words, weren't they? I was very impressed by that. And you're right, Apple has never made money over its use of user data, whereas certain companies that begin maybe with the letters F or G absolutely do.
Well, that's what
he's asking.
I mean, that's Facebook's model, right? I mean, that's how they make their money.
Absolutely, these things are free, and they make their money through revenue, and the way they get revenue is being able to target ads to you and me specifically because they know what site I've been on. They actually do know whether I'm signed into Facebook or not, what I'm searching for, and then they can serve up the ads in the hope of looking for those high-heeled shoes that I've really been jonesing for.
You know what? That's funny because same for me. I keep getting those ads. So what would Tim Cook have the U.S. do that they're doing in Europe?
They want us basically to anonymize the data. That would be one first step for them. also to make it so that he would like to see strong regulations. He believes that this is so important that governments should actually regulate what can be monitored and tracked and what shouldn't be. So it really looks that basically he's inviting government regulation of at least certain parts of the tech industry, not Apple's, to come in and take greater control.
It's funny that he wants regulation. We're talking about that, and we're talking about conspiracy theories, because there was a conspiracy theory that Apple was slowing down its old phones to get us to buy new phones. And lo and behold, while Tim Cook is in Europe, Italy is fining him, right? Millions of dollars.
That's right. Both Apple and Samsung each have to pay for slowing down their older iPhones with software updates. Now, we do know Apple has done that. They said not so that we would find that we had to get a new phone, but that it was a way that with older phones, the battery would stop working as well. So they would basically slow down the battery, slow down the phone to put less stress on the battery so it would last longer. But they weren't telling anybody about it. They since have. And they're being fined for having done that, I believe $5 million. €5 million, which translates to about $5.6 million. Samsung for the same reason. Apple has acknowledged it's done this, but not to obsolete phones. Samsung has denied that it's done that. Did I say that correctly? Apple admitted they did it.
Yeah, but they said that, but they're not doing it to get us to buy new phones, or so they say. It's kind of funny, Rochelle. We started with these nefarious, murky software companies or internet companies, social media companies, and we're ending with it, too. I always enjoy talking to you as well, and I'm glad we could do it today.
Thank you very much. I hope we can do it again sometime.
It's 12:21. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Dennis Rodkin will be along a little bit later in the program. We'll talk about what's what in Chicago real estate and housing sales continue to lag well behind the rest of the country. It was a rough month of September for those of us trying to sell homes in the Chicago region and in Illinois as well. So we'll kick that around with Dennis in a bit. Right now, well, the Dow is up today about 275 points. It was a very different story yesterday. Orion said it earlier, it's been sort of an every other day thing. Bill Geiger is in the studio. Our conversations with Bill, sponsored by Geiger Wealth Management. Welcome back, Bill.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
So where's the market going to end today?
That's a flip of the coin.
Right. So, the question to ask me, and you asked me just...
You're going to bring that up on air.
Yeah, I did. I looked at my 401k today.
Okay.
Because it's just kind of what I do. And as I said, I play with the assumptions. And you know what? If I continue the annual growth of 25%, I'm going to be fine.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Can you tell me, is that going to happen?
Don't hold your breath. Keep your day job.
I would imagine your phone is ringing with this volatility the last 10 days or so.
I met with a client for the first, not a client yet, but someone who came in from the show yesterday morning for the first time, and we're talking about his portfolio. And by the afternoon, he was calling, basically freaking out.
Yeah.
And he's in that red zone that we talk about. He's in the late 50s. And if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, we say this all the time. And by the way, Steve, if anybody tells you they absolutely know what's going to happen in the market, they don't.
Right.
Whether they say it's going straight up or straight down, they don't know. But if you're in your late 50s to early 60s, like this gentleman yesterday morning, you probably have more money you've ever had in your entire life. And the last thing that you want at this stage of your life is a big loss. So it's, and what I was telling him is, you know, it's time to get a little serious, put a plan together, and just understand where you're at, and you need a roadmap to go forward.
Right. And we've talked about this too, where sometimes I think the counseling involved is to say, you know, people are afraid to take it out of the market because they want to keep it growing. We are late October, mid October, and we're basically, I mean, where we stand now, we're kind of flat for the year.
Yeah, as of the close of business yesterday, we were down for the year.
Okay.
Which is amazing. You stop and think about it. We're almost 10 months into the year, and you haven't gained anything.
Right. And so I would imagine that's one of the things you tell people. It's like it takes a little courage, maybe, or wisdom to to pull back sometimes, but there comes a time when you need to do it.
Well, it's kind of a matter of perspective. You know, when you're in your 30s, man, you're swinging for the fences just every day. Even if you're in your 40s.
Right.
You're swinging for the fences.
And you think you can swing like the 30s, but you can't.
Yeah, but the stakes are bigger. You're 5 years away from retirement, even 10 years away from retirement. You have a big loss at this stage. A big loss will hurt you way more than going up a little bit more at this point.
Right.
The smarter course is to make sure you understand just how much risk you have, to protect yourself, and start creating the income you're going to need for retirement.
I was going to say it's sort of time to play four quarters a little bit. Four corners, I should say, reflecting my age, because no one does that anymore. But really, that's not even the case, because four corners implies that there's no offense at all. And what you're talking about is to continue to grow your money, but in a different way.
Yeah. You instead of growth at all costs, you try to get protected growth, if you will. No big losses. You still want some growth. And that's a different strategy. And it's something that you really need to actively, you know, Steve, too many people just kind of go to day, and it's exciting. The market's been going right. Straight up, but it doesn't go on forever. Now, I'm not saying that to be negative or the market's going to go down tomorrow, but really, stop and think about it. The markets don't go up forever. There are corrections, and they go down faster than they go up. Right?
I think that's probably true, yes.
Okay. So my biggest advice to folks, if you're in that red zone, that late 50s, early 60s, tuck the ball under your arm, hold on to it tightly, and basically get yourself a plan to how you're going to get from here to retirement and onward.
Okay, so say I show up at your office later this afternoon. How does that work? What do we do?
Well, first of all, we'd have your name on a big screen TV. Yeah. And we'd have a little fanfare right. Going because Steve Bertram is here.
And then I would say, stop checking your 401k, Steve.
Yeah, we'd take your phone away from you. But we'd sit down and we'd talk about where you're at, what your goals were, and we'd do a really, really complete analysis of your portfolio because we want to understand exactly how much risk you have, how much you're paying for your portfolio, and so on. Steve, what I'm talking about here is a financial plan, a roadmap, if you will. And I know you're going to talk about this in a moment, but folks, if you're not quite sure if you're doing the right thing, the first five callers who call in with the number that Steve's about to give you, we're going to sit down with you personally and put together a full-blown plan for your retirement, and we're going to do it on a complimentary basis.
Bill Geiger, great to see you again.
Good to see you, sir.
Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Dennis Rodkin is in the studio. He writes about real estate for Crane Chicago Business, and when he comes by, it's usually my favorite half hour of the show.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Los Estados Unidos.
Yeah. I, when you were traveling recently, I was in Barcelona.
How about that? Beautiful, isn't it?
It was wonderful. It's a very beautiful city.
A lot of stories I want to talk to you about that you've written over the past few days. One has to do, I think this is a fascinating story, this lawsuit filed by a guy who did time, right? He did like 3 years or so.
Back in the late 90s.
For armed robbery. Yeah, over 18 years ago, something like that. And now he's trying to rent an apartment, and he's going to apartments, and they're saying, we don't rent to ex-felons, right?
Right.
Which is legal.
Which is legal.
Okay. And so they're going at it a different way, saying that it's a civil rights violation based on race.
Because the black population is disproportionate in both the prison population and the post-prison, the people who've been in prison population.
Tell me a little bit about his story, where he is.
So this was in Washington Park, just off the park, Washington Park. He and his partner and child lived in an apartment in West Englewood. They were concerned about safety. He went to look for an apartment and applied to rent at this building in Washington Park, owned by a very large company in Northbrook named Brinshore. Although typical, you know, there are a whole lot of entities, but they all lead in that direction. And he was initially told something else, but ultimately told, we disqualify all applicants who have a conviction, a violent conviction, within the last 25 years.
Right.
Which dates back pretty far.
Well, yeah, so, right. And if you're a landlord, I guess you have a right to want to keep ex-felons out, right?
Sure.
In fact, even the federal government has suggestions for it.
Has suggestions, yeah. As far as I could determine, there is not a law. There's no official guidance. You need to go back this much time or that much time. HUD recommends about 2 years.
Okay.
And so what's going on now? So, again, this is a civil rights case because the complaint argues is that this has a disproportionate effect on black people, so it amounts to a civil rights violation. And so what the civil rights group that filed this lawsuit is saying is, what if you look more closely at the specifics of an individual ex-offender's file? Has there been an attempt at rehabilitation?
Sure.
Has the person had later convictions? That sort of thing. He was in his early 20s when the incident happened in 1997, and he was in prison until 2000. He's now a 50-year-old man with a child, with a college degree, with a partner. He's on disability and was looking for an accessible apartment on the South Side that he could afford with his CHA voucher. Narrows your possibilities, and their concern is this narrows it even further if you say, 25 years after, but in his case, 18 years after you got out of jail, still won't let you in.
I mean, there's got to be a point where we start to accept rehabilitation or foster rehabilitation, and 25 years seems like a long time. But so this lawsuit then, if it's not illegal to ban felons, and they're saying that a disproportionate number of felons are African-American, seems like a reach, but part of the federal law, right, says that even if something appears neutral, you're still responsible for the outcome.
Yeah, if it has the effect of discrimination, you're still responsible for the outcome. And that's what this and other cases rely on. So this is a Chicago case. There was a case in Washington, D.C. with an even larger rental firm where relatively similar circumstances. And ultimately, the resolution was that the rental company agreed to look at individual circumstances and that sort of thing rather than have a blanket policy.
Right.
So I think what the hope is here by the people who filed the case is that something similar would happen. They did file for damages, but they're also looking at changing the policy so that ex-offenders have more of a chance to rent.
So there's that story about a group suing because it was being kept out.
Right.
Now let's go to Hanover Park, where there's a development where they want to bring a particular population in.
Very good segue, Steve. So in Hanover Park, there is a site that has been empty for about a decade, a former Menards site, sort of an eyesore, and a developer, which is not relevant to what you just said, but I think is relevant to the development, a developer who represents a group of physicians who are sort of creating a new concept, wants to build a retirement community that includes both for sale housing, which I wrote about, and a medical unit, which would be attached, that would cater to primarily Indian American retirees and elderly.
There's a population there in the area, right?
Yeah, there
Number
are temples.
And
it's an area where there are a lot of Indian Americans, and the idea is what I was told by the developer is a lot of older Indian Americans have trouble in standard mainstream, let's say, retirement communities because they're vegetarians, because there may be a language barrier, and because a lot of times the holidays they celebrate aren't celebrated. So at this place called Veranda in Hanover Park, there will be vegetarian meals in the clubhouse of this retirement community. Holidays, including Christmas and others,
right,
but also including those in the Indian tradition, will be celebrated. And all staff will be bilingual.
So, you know, when I first heard that, I'm like, well, wow, is there any other retirement village for a particular ethnicity? But of course, there are Jewish retirement centers, right?
And it also, you know,
there probably must be Christian retirement centers.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. There are. And historically, this is what I mean. A lot of individual ethnic groups had their own Swedish, Lutheran, not also an ethnic group. There were 100 years ago, that's what was going on, is we had these sort of self-sufficient beneficiary groups that would sponsor retirement homes for people in their community. This Indian thing, one thing we should be clear about is It's not discriminatory because they're not saying you have to be Indian to live here.
Right. So if you're a Brit who really wants a curry, you could still retire there.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Or if you don't even care about the food, it's just the right location for you, you could retire there. But they're catering to, they're marketing it toward people with a specific group of desires, like
vegetarian food.
They're
up and running, right? This is going to work.
They're building the first, I think it's 55 townhouses are being built, and they've got contracts for 11. So, it's a viable concept.
All right. Well, while we're out west, we'll talk about maybe a referendum on the ballot in Hanover Township and elsewhere. But first, this on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Hey, all you breakfast heads, get ready for the biggest thing since the supersized option at Mickey D's. The fast food leader is set to launch their newest sandwich on November 1st. Triple breakfast stacks of McGriddles, biscuits, and McMuffins. Oh, yeah! It's the newest product from McDonald's since 2013, when the Egg White Delight McMuffin was released. However, these new products are usually rolled out pretty cautiously, so these are here for a limited time and could be gone before you can say, I'll have fries with that. And it seems like North Shore Health System is putting all their fries in their basket with their immediate care sites. $25 million will be invested in 20 new immediate care sites around Illinois. This is huge because there are currently only 6 immediate care sites throughout the North Shore system. People are gravitating towards these more convenient options since they're closer than doctor's offices and usually quicker if they're not busy. I mean, have you tried scheduling a doctor's appointment lately? Just in general, it's like a 4-month waiting list. So these could be the way of the future. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We're sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Dennis Rodkin is in the studio. And, we've moved from federal lawsuits and retirement villages, but we left the audience in Hanover Park. And so now let's expand that a little bit. We're droning, we're flying, we're over Hanover Township. Hanover Township, and then several, you said just Lake County too. There's several spots where there's this referendum on the ballot in a couple weeks that says that they are to want to know if we're for a statewide property tax or against. What exactly is it?
Well, that's one of the problems, is that it is quite confusing. So it's on the ballot in DuPage, Lake, and Kane counties. And in Cook County, it's on the ballot in Hanover Park.
Okay.
And essentially, what you're being asked, and we'll get to how you're being asked, but what you're being asked is, do you think the state of Illinois
should... No.
Exactly. That's exactly how I think people are going to respond. Do you think the state of Illinois should enact a 1% property tax? There is no statewide property tax at this point. Do you think the state should be allowed to institute a 1% property tax to pay for this financial problem that Illinois has?
There's not one proposed.
And that's one of the big problems, is you're being asked to vote on a hypothetical tax increase.
And the vote's not going to really matter.
Yeah, it's like driving. It's like when you were a kid and your parents gave you a little steering wheel in the car and you thought you were turning
steering,
the car and nothing happened. You get to vote whether you think the state of Illinois should create a statewide property tax. But the state of Illinois hasn't been discussing a statewide property tax. Where this comes from is in May, I reported, and a few other places did, some economists at the Fed, at the Chicago Fed, published a paper saying the way to solve this huge pension problem in Illinois is with a 1% statewide property tax that would take about 30 years to pay off the problem.
So serious people without a political agenda coming up with a potential plan.
Right. And
so
what they said at the time is...
It might be a great idea.
Yeah, it may not be the worst idea. What they said at the time is, would you rather pay a higher property tax or would you rather pay a sales tax? This is probably the best way, they said, to solve the problem. That's as far as it got. It is not a proposal.
So why is this on the ballot?
Well, we could go on for about an hour, but essentially several political... or I should say county government officials, have all said, well, let's see what people think. So in those three, Kane, Lake, and DuPage counties, and in Hanover Township, boards, the county board or the township board, voted to put it on the ballot. It's phrased differently in the different places. In some cases, it says 1%. In Lake County, it just says a statewide property tax. And my concern is, many people don't know about this.
Right.
So you walk into the voting booth and you see this thing and you think, we all hate property taxes in Illinois. We pay some of the highest in the nation. In Lake County, you're paying, I reported once, higher than about 95% of American homeowners in property taxes. In the other counties, it's not quite as high. But we all hate property taxes and the increases that have come and are coming to cover, among other things, our pension problem. So you see that and you say, yeah, I'm against this proposal.
So it's
there's no proposal.
So it's coming from local political leaders.
Yes.
Who do depend on the property tax for their revenue, right?
They do.
So if you're a county administrator you need the property tax to fund a lot of the government entities, so you don't want the state moving in on your pot of gold.
Well, one thing we ought to mention, Steve, is that a county or a township is a very, very small piece of your property tax bill. About two-thirds of your property taxes go to schools.
Okay.
And, of course, the schools can't put it on the ballot. But so what you're saying is true. They are property tax dependent entities.
And I want to rephrase it. Not when I say pot of gold, it's not like they're ripping people off or stealing from people. But it's like if there's an in-state increase or state property tax, that puts even more pressure on property taxes, which would make it harder for county leaders to raise their own property taxes.
Yes, absolutely. But again, counties, you pay a tiny little bit of your property tax to your county.
So that's not necessarily it.
I think it's a piece of it, but I think it's probably a small piece of it. Some of it is, some of the leaders I spoke to essentially said, well, you know, let's let people sound off about property taxes.
Right.
We all want to. And what they've said is the Springfield legislators who represent you, when they see that your county or your township has voted overwhelmingly to block this property tax, then they won't think that a statewide property tax is a good idea. But that's sort of a four-step solution, only half a step of which is in that referendum.
That's Dennis Rodkin. He writes about real estate for Crane Chicago Business. Read that and more at chicagobusiness.com. Great to see you.
Thanks, Steve.